All right, welcome to Hebrew Club once again. We are on Amos chapter 6, so we're moving right through the book really well. And notice that we have actually caught up with where we are in our Bible studies for Tuesday, so that's kind of cool. So we get to actually see a passage that most of you, if you were at one of your groups today, got to read in English. Now we get to read it in Hebrew. And it's a really interesting chapter, a real hard-hitting chapter. So let's begin with the first verse. Just remember where it had picked up, where it ended in verse 27. Notice it talks about the exile. I will exile you from beyond Damascus, says the Lord. The God of hosts is his name. That's where we stop, so that threat of exile. So we pick it up with this hoy, which usually precedes some kind of a threat. So it's not so much, most scholars say it's not so much this expression of grief or something, but more an indication of a threat or warning that's following. So hoy ha sha'ananim betzion veha botchim vehar shomron nekuvei reshit hagoyim uva'u lahem beit Yisrael. Woe, you who are at ease. This is just a noun from Sha'anan, plural noun. Those who are at ease in Zion. Vehabotchim, notice that that's a participle, simple call, masculine plural participle. And those who trust in the mountains of Samaria. All right? Nekuve is, now again, nakav means to pierce, and here it means designated, those who are designated. So it's a call passive participle in construct. Okay, that's why you have that A ending. Those who are designated as reshit, as the chief of the goyim, of the nations, or the first of the nations. Bereshit bara Elohim, in the beginning, remember that's where you can see the reshit from. So here you see the same words. Those who are designated, the designated ones, are the ones appointed first of the nations. All right. So since the northern kingdom had enjoyed so much prosperity during this time and expanded their borders, notice he's kind of sarcastically given them this name, but there's kind of a reason for it because of the prosperity that they have been given. Okay. Uva'u, again, notice the vav plus perfect from bo. And Beit Yisrael is the subject, okay? And the house of Israel comes to them. So, namely, to whom the house of Israel comes, and they come for justice, for judgment, for righteous treatment, you know, right treatment. So remember, Amos has this indictment against, in this chapter, the rich and the powerful. That's who he describes as those who are at ease in Zion, those who trust in Mount Samaria. So notice the strength of the nation, the strength of the government, the prosperity, all those things. And then he zeroes in on the heads, the designated as the head of the nations. All right. And the rest of Israel comes to them. All right. Any questions on verse 1? Okay. Now here he starts to talk to them. Yivru kalne ure'u, u lakum misham chamat rabah, uradu gat pelishtim, hatovim min ha mamlakot ha'ela, imrav gevulim mig vulkem. So notice the imperative. So here the call imperative. Pass over to Kalna and see. All right, so these are cities that obviously have not fared so well, that were once strong. All right, and he kind of goes north to south, or south to north here. No one is quite sure where Kalna is, although there are some guesses as to where it is. So notice then he follows it up with another participle imperative from Ra'a. So cross over to Kalna and see, and come, Laku, from Halak, and go from there to Chamat Rabbah. Great Chamat as opposed to small Chamat. Okay? And that's more to the north. And Radu, that's from Yarad, go down, to Gath of the Philistines. So he has them look to these different cities in different geographical areas, kind of surrounding the north, and says, take a look at these guys. All right. Namely, they had all maybe once been great, and they all were under judgment and had fallen. Okay? So then he asks the question, ha-tovim, min. As soon as you see the adjective tov plus min, you know it's comparative. Better are you than ha-mam, ha-tov, than these kingdoms? Im rab, or larger are gevulam, their borders, or were their borders, than gevul kem, than your borders? Or greater were their borders than your borders? No. The answer, of course, to both those is no. Okay? Ha me, now verse 3, ha menadim leyom ra vatagishun shevet chamas. O you who push away. Again, this is a participle, a PL participle, used as a substantive from the root nada. So it's a third hey. That's why you have that hey, the phony ending, the yud, it's third yud. Drops off and you put the plural on. Those who push off layomra, an evil day. Vatagishun, notice that this is from nagash, to bring near. This is a hifil vav consecutive. And you who have brought near, shevet chamas. Shevet is from yashav, to sit. So something like, who brought near a seat of violence. All right, or a violent foundation, maybe, or something like that. So notice the kind of irony. You push off the evil day, that's what's coming, and you bring near the seat of violence, which is what you should be pushing away. See, I think the seat of violence has reference to the fact that they're rulers and they're rich and they're powerful, and rather than being a seat of justice or righteousness or peace, it's Hamas. Okay. Any questions through 3? All right, here he goes. Verse 4. He continues in the same kind of syntactical vein with these participles. Hashokvim al mitot shein u'seruchim al ar sotam ve'ochlim karim mitzon va'agalim mitok mar beik. O you who lie on, shakav is to lie, again a participle. O you who lie on mitot, beds of shame, ivory. That probably means ivory inlays, you know, so very fancy beds. And seruchim, that's an interesting word. Notice it's a call passive participle. So you would translate those who are sprawled on arsotam, on their couches. So just think teenage son watching TV on your couch. Like if you ever read the comic strip Zitz, Jeremy, yep, yep. You know, he's always like sprawled. So that's what it reminds me of when I see this word seruchim. You're just kind of sprawled out there.
Sprawled is far better than what ESV does.
What do they do?
They just say stretch.
Yeah, stretched out. But
stretch themselves
sprawled
out.
Is better, I think. I like sprawled. Yeah. So you who lie on beds of ivory and are sprawled out on their couches. Ve'oklim, and who eat karim, lambs. Okay, who eat lambs from the flock. So probably referring to the kind of choice, tender meat. See, they take the best. And agalim, calves, from the midst of the marbek. Marbek, again, that's a rather rare word, like car is too. But it refers to the stall that you use for fattening calves. So they take the calves from the midst of the fattening stall. So again, the real nice veal, you know. Okay, so it indicates how they're plundering the wealth and using wealth. Okay, gets worse in verse 5. Ha portim al pi ha naval ke David chashu lahem kele shir. You who this word occurs only here, and so you're going to see it translated in various ways, but something like you who, I like the idea of sing frivolous tunes or something like that. Okay, make up frivolous songs. Literally, now woodenly, to the mouth of the novel, to the mouth of the harp or the lyre. But P here probably means to the music of the lyre, to the sound of the lyre. Now look how sarcastic he gets. This Kedavid chashvu lahem. Chashav means to think. All right. So they So they think, or they consider Lahem themselves like David. So they think they're like David. With Kelei Shir, that's a word that's probably best translated as musical instruments, with musical instruments. Okay, so they think they're like David with their musical instruments. Now, other people will translate Chashav as more the sense they compose for themselves a music on instruments like David or something like that. And you could translate it like that, but I think it's just more sarcastic to, they sing all these frivolous songs thinking that they have David's talent, kind of is basically the point. So in their leisure time, while the rest of Israel suffers, see, they're eating the fatted calf, and they're singing songs, you know. Okay, it's like a frat party, sprawled on their couches.
Does that first verb, Harat, have anything to do with Harat?
I don't think, you know, that's a good question. The meaning Parrot to mimic or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Right.
I don't know. No, I have never run across that. You'd have to do a word study. It's a good way to remember the meaning of the word, though.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. That's good. Any other questions or thoughts on verse 5? Everybody see how he's just kind of moving through in his indictment of them? You think you're any better? You push off this evil day. Now he describes them as sprawled on their couches. They eat the fatted stuff. They play frivolous music. Okay. Continues in verse 6 then. Hashotim be mizrecheyayin vereshit shemanim yimshachu velo nechlu al shever yosef. Those who drink, that's from shata, call participle. Those who drink out of mizrecheyayin, out of bowls of wine, or from bowls of wine. So again, here's a good example of a verb. Zarak means to pour. I think that's you know, when Moses splattered blood, and then you add a mem, and it's used as a noun. It's referring to probably these big ornate metal bowls that were actually used for sacrifices as well. But again, showing kind of the amount of wine they're drinking. All right, vereshit shemanim. Okay, shemen is fat or oil. Shemanim, that plural, you also see in Isaiah 25 where God prepares a feast of the best fats, the finest shemanim fats. So here, and yimshachu is from mashach. It's a call imperfect, means to anoint. So, and with the first of oils, namely the finest of oils, they anoint, and you have to understand probably, they anoint themselves. So probably, you know, oils are, I don't think this has to do with any kind of religious connotation, but more in the sense of, because of the dry air, you know, people would rub themselves with oil to keep their skin moist and their hair moist and all that kind of stuff. So that's what the people, these guys were doing. So they were drinking from big goblets of wine, rubbing themselves up with the finest of oils. But lo nechlu. Here's the killer line. Notice that nechlu is from chala. Chala means to be ill or to be sick or to be weak. So it's a third hey. This is a nifal form. Okay, so a nifal perfect. And the nifal, so the call means to be weak. So nifal, it may mean kind of an ingressive. They do not enter into this state. They do not become sick over or ill at the Shever Yosef, the breaking up of Joseph. Joseph is hurting because of their sin, because of their idolatry. You know, the rest of the society, other than the riches, you know, undergoing a more meager existence. And while they're doing all this, they're not sick about it. They're not sick at heart. Notice that's kind of the point. They're not guilty about it. They don't feel bad about it. They're not broken up about it. Okay? They haven't done that.
So why Joseph and not, say, Israel or Jacob?
Sometimes because Joseph, his two kids, Manasseh and Ephraim, and sometimes, you know, those are the two biggest tribes in the north, and so sometimes it's referred to that way. So it goes back to that, yeah. Different names are used to refer to the different entities, north and south, and all together. So I'm sure people have done studies of Amos to see how he refers to Israel. And you'd have
to
look.
He's talking specifically to the northern kingdom.
Yeah, more to the north, correct. All right, so here you get this Lacan. Here comes a declaration or a statement after a description like this. Lacan ata, yiglu berosh golim, vesar mirzak seruchim. Okay, therefore now, this is from Gala, and we saw this, remember, in chapter 5, verse 27, with the vehigleti, I will lead them into exile. See that first word? So this is the call form. So higleti means I will lead you into exile. The call form means, therefore now, they will go into exile. Berosh golim. As the first of the golim, exiles. And here's the participle from Gala. Again, notice how he's kind of playing off reshit here. They're the first of the oils, the first of the nations. They're going to go at the head of the exiles. Okay. Vesar is from sur, to turn away, so it's intransitive. And the mirzak seruchim. So here's that word seruchim, the sprawlers, those who are sprawled. Mizrak means something like feasting, or again, you know, kind of the revelry, and the revelry of the sprawled out ones will turn away. Go away. Right. And maybe he uses that mirzak because he's making a play on words with a mizrak in the previous. You know, they drink from bowls of wine. Now their mirzak will be removed. So sar mirzak seruchim. Kind of a, that whole verse is really a tough one, huh? All right. Verse 8 then. Nishparana Yahweh benach sho ne'um. Adonai Elohe Zevaot Zevaot. Met Ta'ev Anuki et Geon Yaakov, Ve Armenotav Saneti, Ve Hisgarti Ir Umeloa. Yahweh has sworn by himself, Ben Afsho. Now notice Ne'um, utterance of Yahweh, the God, the Lord of hosts. Met Ta'ev, I hate. See, this is a PL participle. From, notice that there's an aleph there, but it's probably a biform of tav, ein bait, which is a more common spelling. Anoki, I loathe the pride of Jacob. Namely, now here it's probably best understood as just the arrogance of Jacob. Okay, now notice here he refers to him as Jacob. All right, so he goes all the way back to the ancestors. The armenotav and its palaces. Saneti, I hate. Again, notice he has no trouble switching verb forms from participles to perfects to vav consecutives. As, you know, again, that's part of the style of the way they talk. They don't seem to have so much concern about those forms as Western speakers of English, probably German as well, do, right? They just kind of, it seems like they can mix them much easier, depending on the situation. So here you have Yahweh has sworn. I loathe them, and they're, and notice saneti is a state again, so loathing is more of a state. And now notice you, he switches to ve hisgarti, and I will, so here's probably where he's saying what he's going to do. And so I will, sagar, to shut up. Notice that this is a hifil, okay, which in the hifil a lot of times means to deliver over, to shut them up to something. So I will deliver city and Meloah, its fullness. And he's probably referring to Samaria here. All right, because of all these things that are going on in Samaria, I will deliver up city and fullness. Or we would probably say in better English, the city and its fullness. The city and everything in it. Maybe. Okay? Questions? V'haya im yivatru asaranashim bevet echad v'metu. And it will come to pass, if 10 men remain, that yivatru is from yatar. Notice it's a nifal form, so probably better translate. If 10 men are left, it will come to pass, if 10 men are left in one house, vametu, then they will die. This is from Moot. So, okay. Now here comes one of my favorite verses. It's really weird. Verse 10. U nesa'o dodo u mesarfo lehotzi atzami min habayit ve'amar la'asher be'yarkte habayit ha'od imak ve'amar afis ve'amar has ki lo lehazkir beshem Adonai. Alright. So notice how 9 starts it. If 10 men are left in one house, they will die. Okay? Now this is what comes next. The subject is dodo, and that can mean uncle, but it can also mean a close kinsman. And notice you have u nesa'o. That's the perfect form from nasa, and he will carry him. Dodo. And his relative or his kinsman will lift him, carry him, take him. All right. In other words, they're all dead, and so now it switches to single to probably refer to anyone in there. And, you know, one's relative wants to take him or takes him. Now you have this next word, u mesar po. This is from saraf, means to burn, probably. That's one possibility. And so his burner, the one who burns him, in other words, he's going to come and maybe do some kind of cremation, okay, which is against, remember, the religion of Israel. You're supposed to bury your dead. It could also be, if you take it as cognate with an Aramaic, which means to anoint, some translation will translate as an embalmer. Now, and most people think this refers to the same person, his kinsman and his embalmer, the one who's responsible for taking care of the remains of the body. Some suggest, no, this is two different people that come in. So it's not a huge bunch of interpretive, you know, it doesn't really matter that much, okay? So notice how he takes him, lehotzi, that's from Yatza, to bring out his bones from the house. Okay, so let me put this together. And his relative and his embalmer take him, see, to carry him, to go out or to bring out his bones from the house. So, namely, the relative comes to the house where they've all died. He wants to get his relative. Okay? And he says, Ve'amar, he will say to the one who is be-yarkite habayit, in the midst of the house. So he's ready to go into the house, but he yells into the house, ha'od imak, is yet with you. In other words, is there anyone in there with you? Ve'amar, and the one in the house will say, afis, no one. Ve'amar, and then the relative will say, has. That means for us, hush, be quiet, has. For ki lo lehazkir beshem Yahweh. So notice that lehazkir is an infinitive construct, hifil from zakar, to remember. So, but with the bait plus shame, it means to invoke. So very woodenly, for not to invoke the name Yahweh. But this kind of construction occurs a number of other times, and it means something like that, for we should not invoke the name Yahweh, or one shouldn't invoke the name Yahweh. Or maybe even more strikingly, certainly don't invoke the name Yahweh. Why? Because the thought is that if they mention Yahweh, he may come back to the house and do more judgment. See? So notice how he's picturing the destruction in kind of really dire terms. Okay? I'm going to stop there. It's a good thought for you guys to think about it.